Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to r/escalating revenge, an amazing subreddit with stories all about how revenge starts off pretty casual and then gets more and more serious as time progresses. I get banned from campus. The revenge might take a while, but it gets sweeter and sweeter as time goes on. This happened in the early 2010s. Let's say it's in a very hot state. Christmas weather is in the low 80s. I'll give you some background information to explain my state of being at the time and just how effed up what actually happened was. After my wife, my high school sweetheart and mother of two boys passed away suddenly at age 22 at the hands of arrogant physicians, that's a long and totally different story that isn't escalating revenge. During my work through college, I found myself in a situation where it was advantageous for me to get my master's degree in education before entering the field of education. I was given the Board of Regents scholarship, that was a 4-year scholarship, and I transferred from a community college so it paid through my master's degree. It's known in the field of education, especially in a desert climate for some reason, that getting your master's before working as a teacher is very risky, because if you work for a public school, they have to pay you for your master's, and most places won't pay the extra money for someone with no actual teaching experience. Education is like gold in the education system, at least they value themselves. Anyway, I found it very difficult finding even an interview for a teaching position in a public school, let alone getting a job in one. I decided to sub for various districts to supplement the pay. I was hoping to somehow get an in by subbing for these school districts, finding out what was so great about the hires they had. I found out nothing aside from them being a dime a dozen. This wasn't panning out. I did land a couple of teaching jobs that were private, literally private, teaching a prominent local desert hockey player's kid, friend, 1 year, or charter schools. Out of desperation and a true need for money, I doubled down on my applications for more schools that aren't public, like Catholic schools, Jesuit schools, I'm not picky, and any charter school that I can find. Enter Sports is More Important Than Education Charter School, from here on referred to as Semitics. I got an interview for this place that was just being built, and they had this philosophy that sports and education go hand in hand. They fought hard to get as many fit and sports-related people as possible. Basically, if you didn't play at least high school sports, varsity, you had no chance at this interview. I mean, it was weird. It's like I was applying for a gym based on the interview questions. So, how many times a week do you think is a fair amount to work out? What is your philosophy on aerobic to anaerobic workout ratio? Peppered in with the standard, so what does a typical day in your classroom look like, for good measure? I played football in high school, and football, basketball, and baseball in college. So I thought I had a shot. I talked up my favorite athlete and why I loved John Wooden so much, stuff like that. 90% of the interview was sports related. That should have been my first sign that this place wasn't great, but the director, she didn't like the term principal, seemed, however hippy dippy, like a decent person. Oh, I couldn't have been more wrong. So anyway, my interview was in like May and school started in very early August and the building wasn't even completed yet. All of the new hires, me being clearly the fattest of the bunch, save for one guy whose rotundity was only surpassed by his intellect, the academic of the campus, and a leader, would report to the school and pick their classroom location as they build and help them finish things up. And when they finish, we could bring our supplies. I don't know if it was the allure of being the first person to teach in a particular building or classroom or what, but all of a sudden, I was all in at Semitics, and in my mind, made the decision to retire from there. The first of a couple places I thought were going to be the one. Oh, I couldn't have been more naive. Once I decide to teach somewhere for life, I bring in my arsenal. Back in the early 2010s, the internet wasn't such a staple of teaching. We could teach using notebooks, whiteboards, and textbooks. Seriously old school. That being said, my arsenal was the accumulation of all the books, notes, filing cabinets, 6 5-footers full of materials, supplies, and basically leftover junk from my previous teaching assignments. Like Diebold's testers, mismatched and random manipulatives, you name it. Basically, a 6 foot by 6 foot by 12 foot concentrated cube of junk that wouldn't get more than $30 total at a yard sale. At the time, it was important to me for my craft, but to anyone else, virtually useless. So anyway, I've got the arsenal in my back closet of the room for use whenever, and I do occasionally. Over time, the arsenal grows, somehow by another couple feet, as I continue to teach my middle schoolers. This teaching assignment was tough. There are about 6 kids in this class that individually warrant being worse than my worst student ever in any other place I've taught. Even worse than the kids, it's a very close race, is one particular mother. Oh, what a mother she was. She accused me of being racist when I called her precious boy out for his ridiculous in-class behavior. Not that this is a defense in any way, but I'll say it anyway at the risk of sounding like that dude, but I'm biracial, neither of which is the race of the mum or son, I presume. Anyway, I'm trying to say I'm genuinely not hating on this kid because of his race. He's not the only kid that has this race in the class, he's just the only one who jumps over desks and throws things at me when my back is turned. Not even turned 180, by the way. More like a quarter turn to get the whiteboard marker. This was tough, because this lady was the lunch lady, who passed out lunch at the top of the hallway with her catering company. Evidently, I made the mistake of going to admin about the kid's behavior before I went to her. I really did call the available number given and send an email with no response. She absolutely hated me, yelled at me, and insulted me out loud when I walked by her, to the point I stayed in my classroom until she was off campus. This kept me cooped up in my classroom through lunch, so I couldn't bring a lunch that needed refrigeration. Whatever, peanut butter sandwiches it is, and was. As time went on, this issue seemed to work itself out once the rest of the team realized what an idiot this kid truly was. You ever see a kid that you hate so much that you want to slap that goofy smile off their face? Okay, maybe I was harboring a bit of resentment towards him for ruining my lessons on a daily basis, but I really did give him a clean slate daily, and I made every effort to show him positivity in the face of what could have been a rough situation. Anyway, we hit December, and all the teachers, admin, everybody is in a good mood, excited about the break coming up. Christmas hits, and we're invited to a 3-star restaurant, fancy, by admin. We say our goodbyes, and I make sure that I say bye to everyone and say goodbye back. Enter winter break. I start planning for a trip we were taking up to Flagstaff with my family, since after the lawsuit, I remarried and have 3 children with my current wife, with 2 from the previous, for a big family of 7. As I'm entering the hotel of where we're staying, I see an email from Hippy Dippy from Cimatech. This is like noontime, December 23rd. It was sent to me and one other person, who wasn't BCC'd but just CC'd so I could see. It says that I need to find employment elsewhere because your employment with us is terminated. It was such a lame way to say it. It was such a lame time to do it. Like Christmas Eve, Eve? You've got to be kidding me. My trip is now cancelled in spirit because now I've got to look for a job. Now I've got to contact them and find out what happened. I called her. She said that she doesn't owe me any more explanation. I ask her about picking up my personal belongings, like my £4,500 of personal belongings. She says that, and I kid you not, she said it like this: "If I see anything worth salvaging, I'll have it shipped to you. Don't come back on campus." Are you frigging kidding me? Enter the beginning of a revenge that escalates like a domino. More details about what stuff is in my classroom at this point. So, all of these things I brought on campus. Pre-copied worksheets, is there any other kind? In the thousands for maths, science, ELA, social studies, random textbooks that I've accumulated over time, a plethora of flotsam that was just for me, waiting in my classroom, the classroom Hippy Dippy never entered, and thusly, not ever having any evidence as to my teaching prowess one way or another, so she had no idea just how much of my stuff was there. So that's fine. I just waited and waited. So I tell my wife, "Look, babe." She was so pissed and told me how illegal it was for her to not let me collect my personal effects. 99% of the stuff I have there, I really don't care about. I never wanted to store at the house, and it's well worth it being someone else's problem. She saw where I was going with this and dreamed of keeping our garage as neat as it currently is. So I decided that I would never go back, ever. I know this is a revenge that really was just what my boss said to do, but I know for a fact that had she seen what my classroom looked like, she would demand I remove everything. At first, I was surprised not to hear from her. I just kept enjoying my vacation. I landed a job pretty much instantly, 2 days after I get the poorly timed email. I presume that by Boxing Day or the day after, I get an urgent call from her saying, "Hey, come and get your piles of rubbish." This is a call that presumably never would happen. I just stopped thinking about it. New Year's comes and goes. Here we are sitting at the Sunday before they go back to school, which now is, after actually signing contracts we discussed on break, also the Sunday before I start at my new school. And here comes the call. Tempering revenge phase one. "Mr. Jones? Mr. Jones? Mr. Jones?" I had a baddish connection. I say, as cordial and pleasant as ever, "Hey, how was the holiday season?" "I had an amazing break, much needed. So glad I do what I do for a li-" She interrupts. "How rude. You need to get all this trash out of here right now. I don't care if you have to pay to rent a U-Haul. We have class starting tomorrow. What time are you going to get here?" "Yeah, sorry, I tried that route. I believe you said that if you saw anything worth salvaging, you'd ship it or something. You also said that I'm not allowed—" No, you're not doing this to me. You came in on winter break and dumped a bunch of trash here. I will send you the bill to have this shit." Now I'm the one doing the interrupting. "Yeah, good luck with that. That's a bill that will not be paid."
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I wanted to add a nice little, "Oh, no thank you, but good luck in all of your future endeavors," but I never had the chance to end a conversation so sweetly. I'm pretty sure I heard a click right about the time I said "not." She was obviously calling from campus, not just because of the click that accompanies hanging up a school phone. I found out later from a colleague, three of the teachers that worked with me at SIMI left there within a year or two, and couldn't wait to tell me how things went down, that it went down something like this. Revenge phase two. Through the grapevine, the teachers found out the D-bag move that the head director did, firing two teachers over winter break by email. No call, nada. This polarized the remaining crew into two distinct categories. Those who thought this was a totally trashy move and lost all respect for the director, and those who didn't like me or the other person who got canned either, or just didn't care because the job market was bleak at the time. There was a subcategory of people who didn't necessarily like us, but still thought it was a terrible move. Who's to say what percent was that, but I'd like to say that not all the remaining teachers I didn't converse with didn't hate me. Revenge phase three, the fallout. Evidently, the director was shopping around for new teachers in November. None of my colleagues I still talk to swear they had any idea it was to replace me. The other teacher, maybe, but they'd given them a tour of campus, but not into my classroom. Not until the newly hired teacher came into the class and brought her arsenal of items, all on one dolly and that's it, and asked about moving some of the teacher's old supplies, did they realise just how bad it was. The director came in on that Sunday, which she rarely does from what I've heard, and saw the monstrosity that was taking up every available nook and cranny of space in the classroom. She was livid about all of the stuff she had to deal with. The situation caused the new hire to back out of the deal. She heard what happened and how it happened, and decided that she didn't want to be a part of it, presumably. Revenge phase four. Two teachers left the week after, both colleagues I keep in touch with on LinkedIn. And when they didn't get subs, they didn't have a sub system, they just split classes, and the other classrooms grew in student number by 30%, four more teachers left. That's an entire grade level, and one more from the grade below. Revenge phase five. They cancelled school for 2 days originally, and then it turned out to be a whole week until they got new hires in classrooms. It was a hot mess, with teachers leaving either because of the trash way they fired two people over the holiday, or by making the rest of the teachers take in 10 more students apiece, or by making the rest of my grade level move my heavy and trashy rubbish out of there. Two flat out refused to handle the personal possessions of someone else, and supposedly the head director insinuated that something bad happened to me to one of the other teachers, knowing it was a full lie. And phase six? The charter school never recovered from that point, And the building was bought out a couple of years ago by a charter school system that's all over the States. And there we go. That is the end of this episode of r/escalatorrevenge and that story. I've got to say, what the most impressive thing to me is about this story is the fact that you yourself, OP, actually did nothing. You did exactly what you were supposed to do, you were asked to do, which was do nothing, never come into the building again. I don't want to see your face again. And that was the thing that caused that much revenge. I will say, it's just a complete lack of ability from this head director to not understand your role or even look into your classroom while you were teaching and see the amount of stuff that you had. And I also don't 100% know why they couldn't just get rid of it themselves. I mean, they were the ones that fired you. Surely it's not on you to come and actively pick up your stuff if you don't want to. I don't know. All in all, a very strange institution. I will say that even if this hadn't happened to you, I reckon it would have crumbled pretty quickly. Fair play to the other teachers for backing you. I feel like they all should have done rather than just half of them. But yeah, nonetheless, you were horribly treated. You then really did nothing, and that in effect was your escalating revenge. And there we go, guys. That is going to do it for this episode of r/escalatingrevenge. Only the second episode I've ever made on this subreddit. If you want to watch another one that I made a couple of years ago now, I believe, way back in time, it is on screen now and also linked in the description down below. And if you're new to the channel and you want to see more from this subreddit, drop a like on this one, subscribe, follow, and I'll see you all tomorrow for a brand new Reddit story.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.